Welcome to Boza Moves. I'm Amandla Mukubung, and I have the privilege of having conversations with ordinary young South Africans about how they're making money for themselves. I feel honored to have conversations with South African youth on a regular basis where we just pick their brains about how they started making money for themselves. And these range from individuals who never in their wildest dreams imagined that one day they would grow their side hustles into a fully operational business, to those that actually saw signs at an early age in their love for selling snacks, magwenya le dikota in school, and they saw from that point that they were not going to go for an office 8-to-5 job. And as the job market gets tougher, it's in spending time unpacking their stories and their personal experiences that we can get ideas about what we can do right now within our means to start making money or even making extra money for ourselves. And today I am joined by my colleague, Jeff Masirwe, and we'll be spending time in conversation with our guest, Victoria Raseboza.
Thank you. Thank you, Amandla. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, good, good. I'm excited about learning from our guest, Victoria. I believe he ran a sneaker cleaning service when he was still studying at the University of Pretoria a couple of years ago. He opened another branch at the University of Limpopo, and he is dabbling in agriculture. That's a turn. Selling eggs, broilers, veggies, and I'm just keen to hear more from him and his journey in business. Victoria, welcome to Boza Moves.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Amante, for having me here today.
Sweet,
to share my story with you guys.
Sweet. So, Boza, you're only 24 years old. When did you get all that you have accomplished now? And where did you get the time to actually just do this at such a very young age?
Okay, well, I grew up in a small village outside Polokwane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, life was tough, but when I came to Gauteng, it was a chance to see things, you know, when I saw other young entrepreneurs. Yeah, I admired them when I started, because I had it in me. I used to sell snacks and everything. Just like she mentioned, back in high school. But it was just to have like an extra cash. So then when I came here and started seeing a lot of people engaging in business, I started back in Joburg. I went to VIT in 2016. And then I partnered with my friends. We started a media house company. We were designing posters. We're creating websites and everything, but partnerships, sometimes they don't go well.
Yeah,
we closed down within a year. And then I moved to Pretoria in 2018. When I got there as well, there came a day and I was just broke. And I thought of something. I was like, let me just buy sneakers. And then it started. Within 2 weeks, we were running very well. And the following year, I started in 2018. And then 2019, it was running as well. 2018, where it was pandemic, then I had to go home. So when I go home, I couldn't just chill as well. So my grandma is a farmer. I'm from a family of farmers back home. So I started going out to the field with her, learning there and there. And then I actually realized that, there's something in me about this thing of agriculture. I can actually take it serious and make a living out of it. So the agriculture background was there in the family, but what we lacked was like taking things formally into the formal market, like commercializing or making a formal business out of it. Because my grandma, it was just for us in the family to have something, you see. So then, that's when I started agriculture. And 2021, I started poultry, and then I added up on the veggies we were already producing there. So now I'm on poultry.
So you say that you grew up in the villages, right? In Limpopo.
Yes.
So can you please just tell us a little bit more about that?
Okay. Back home, just like I said, obviously there are businessmen there, but most of the time you find that it's older people, people you can't relate with. You just grew up and you find that, this person has been running this thing. You don't know the journey, you see. So I went to high school. I was super focused on school. I did very well on my matric, and I went to study engineering. only to find that that is not my part. I used to sell traditional beer for my grandma when she's not around. And we also, you know, in the villages, water was an issue back then. So we had a borehole in the house, and we also used to sell water. So I was always there for all that.
So you've been selling.
Yes, I can see
that's
that.
That's good.
He said that's why I learned velu, actually. Velu of selling,
Obviously, when you were younger, you were probably not even realizing that I'm actually an entrepreneur. You now relate back and say, I used to sell a traditional beer. We also sold water. There's so much of I feel like entrepreneurship was always in your bloodstream, if I can call it that. Was it easy for you to take those skills back into, or rather into you starting the sneaker cleaning service? Were there things that you were able to take from what you learned back then?
Yeah, definitely. My grandma, she taught me the value of money. Trust me, I used to sell for her, but I never got any sale for me. It was always about the family. You're doing this for the family, you see. So that's when I learned to take things seriously, to see value in what I do, you see. It wasn't easy as well because, none of my siblings or my family members have businesses. They are people who just work, get jobs and they work. And, well, I just wanted to change something in the family, do something different. There was a time when, obviously, the whole experience had, I experienced difficulties in my academics. Because now there were two different things I was doing. Engineering, which required me to always be on my books. At the same time, my own personal life, like who I am, I'm an entrepreneur. So the transition was very difficult because everyone in my family couldn't approve that. At some point I decided that I'm gonna drop out. And focus on business. And while I'm busy, I'll find something I can study which is related to what I'm trying to do in life. But then everyone was against it. So it was kind of difficult because I was on my own, actually. But then I was like, let me just prove myself.
And you mentioned something very important, if I can just come in there, where you talk about approval from family. How did you overcome that? How did you get your family to buy into the idea of you leaving engineering to go into becoming a business person?
They were never exposed to any of my hustle here in Gauteng. So they didn't know anything. I was just doing everything on my own. I was actually hiding it because they thought I was studying.
So you got a chance to like express yourself in the entrepreneurial field, something that has always been within you in a way.
They realized that I'm serious when I went home during the pandemic 2020. When I started the poultry business, they were surprised because I had actually raised the funds alone. So I started poultry in the backyard. And then they started saying that I'm serious because the capital was quite a lot. So it took me time to raise it. And
So while you were in varsity, what inspired you like to push your studies this side and also push a side hustle on the other hand? I know that you say that it's something that has always been like in you. But apart from that, looking at your surroundings, looking at what you... the exposures that you had, like what spoke to you that, you know, now, you know what, I need to push my own side hustle, Nyana, to do something, Nyana.
I think it's because I was always exposed to young entrepreneurs there at my residence. There was a guy from my hood and he's a photographer. He was doing very well. And I was just inspired because I knew him personally. So he was a completely different person from who I knew back home. You see.
Oh, so you come from the same
village? Same village.
Interesting.
He came to Houghton before me to study. So when I got there, I found that, no, this guy's making moves in photography and everything. And I was close to him, you see. So That's when I realized that I can actually do this thing. But to be honest, I failed to balance the two.
The two, school and, and business.
Yeah, because even when I moved from Wits to Pretoria, I wanted to study something related to business.
Business.
But then still, because of family, I still went for engineering.
Eish.
And I failed again.
Eish.
And then a year later, I was like, no, I just have to do this on my own. That's when I registered to study online so that I can be full time on business. And
so you were failing the engineering part, which was a path that was chosen for you, but you were excelling at the business part because it was something that you wanted to do.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think I only took engineering because of my performance for matric, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So if I had a choice at that time, or if my mind was open at that time to the things I want to do, then I would have definitely taken a different route. But it was ill.
Let's talk about starting out, especially if we had to take you back to when you started your sneaker cleaning business. A lot of young people, when they think of starting a side hustle or even growing their business, the worry is, where will I get the money to do it? Or I need the money to actually do it. Take us back to the day that you decided, I'm going to start this. Take us to the point where you started. And did you require funding? How much funding did you require? And where did you get this from?
Well, just as I mentioned that it was just a normal day and I was broke.
Yeah. So empty pockets inspired you.
Yeah. So I was chilling with my friend and I'm like, dude, I think I'm going to start a sneaker watch business.
Mm.
And he's like, sneaker watch, dog. Why would you think of such a thing?
Mm.
I'm like, people don't have time when I check.
Mm.
So I can actually bridge the gap and clean their sneakers quick nyana and then deliver them to, back to them. So I didn't require like a startup capital because, you know, I started with basic things, our household things that I had.
Things you already had.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, well, fortunately, I also realized that I had a huge market where I stayed. It was a race with 1,000 plus students.
Sure.
You see, so I realized that I can actually capitalize where I am without even going out. Because at first I hesitated because I thought people are not going to trust me with their sneakers from outside. So initially I focused on my race to say I'm going to be serving these people. So within a week, I was able to raise enough money to buy like proper materials. And I was already watching videos whereby I learned to watch sneakers very quick and in a proper way, you see, because I've realized that we've been doing it the wrong way, you see.
So you learned.
Yeah, I learned.
The right way, in a way.
In a way, yeah. I wanted to be a professional.
And you wanted to spread this to the rest of the students.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And talking about working with what you have, I know you said you were capitalizing on where you were and there was a student market. Tell us about the marketing, or rather taking this to the students. Now that you've thought about the idea, and then how did you take it out to the rest of the students? I remember that's when I actually met you. I think I saw your content on social media, and you know, you were within the vicinity. I was not a student, but then I was able to tap into your services. What are some of the platforms that you used for the race and outside of the race to market your business?
Well, for the race, obviously, at that time, I was not allowed to operate a business.
So you did it illegally.
Kind of, but it wasn't a big issue. So at first, it was a word of mouth thing, you know. I watched some of the sneakers for free when I started, just to show what I can do. And then, people referred other people to me, and then I also created a Facebook and Instagram page. I promoted some of my posts and they reached out to more people. Then when Osamante inboxed me, it was a win for me because she was the first person who actually approached me from social media. And It was a win. Even when she told me that she's into marketing, I was like, no, I did a good job in marketing.
You won the marketer over.
The marketer.
Yes, yes. So, and also I had to open up like the market.
Mm.
So I introduced the house calls. So where you can just call me and I come to our house and I wash all the shoes.
Or you wash them there, or you pick them up and then wash them?
Either way, I can pick them up or I can wash them at your place.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I remember there was this other program by University of Pretoria. I think they were doing a study or research.
Mm-hmm.
They had bicycles there whereby students can go and rent them. I don't know how they were studying everything, but I saw an advantage and I approached them. I told them that, I told the lady that I need to hire the bikes.
Mm.
They were electric bikes, actually. So then it was so easy. They agreed. And then I had a transport for pickup and deliveries. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
What do you feel makes your sneaker cleaning business work? Because you started one in Pretoria. Life happened. You had to move back home. And then you started another one at the University of Limpopo. What do you think makes this business idea work for you?
Like I said, I wash sneakers differently.
So
you will always see the difference.
Of course.
From your own work and mine, you see.
Mm.
And like, I think my branding helps a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, the logo is catchy and the name Kickslap. It's quite catchy. And, when I chose this name, I had other plans as well for shoes repairs and to sell secondhand sneakers, you know, the collectibles and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. And then, tell us about your relationship with money. Are you somebody who's frugal, like saver, or a big spender, like?
Well, actually, yeah, money. Yeah. It's one of the things that really motivated me because, I didn't have, I didn't know how to use money.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's not the skill that I was taught.
Yeah.
I was only taught velo, but when I had money, I would go for things that I've always wanted at that time, you know, some sneakers and everything. Yeah,
that you don't really need. Or
that
like
I don't really need, you see. So I needed it. There was no way I could stop. And from my experiences, when there were times where I had money and I used it for other things. So I realized that, I had to make changes now, you see. So I started learning about money and I realized that there was a lot that I didn't know about money, actually, how to manage it, you see.
Mm.
So then YouTube has been my friend for a long time now.
Mm.
Personally, I love self-education more than what another person recommends for me. Yeah. Mm. You see, so
you're more into learning on YouTube compared to reading a book or something like that?
Not exactly. I'm trying to say I tailor my own syllabus. Self-education is what I've been doing for a long time now. I've actually gained more in it than in school.
But which one works best for you between the two? Is it the books or is it the YouTube part?
YouTube, because the content is always different.
You can actually see what they are doing.
Exactly, sure. Exactly. Yeah. You can see it live. This is what is happening. Yeah.
So, I know this is a cliche question, but what do you know now about business that you wish maybe you knew earlier on and so on?
Mm.
Like you wish when you started, if I knew this, then I would be far by now.
Well, as I mentioned, my grandma used to sell beer and used to sell water, but those are not formal businesses. If I knew how to formalize a business, you see, back then, and also know what it means to really have a business, it's surprising to, I can tell you that I learned how to formalize a business while I was in varsity. So it can tell you that I'm from a place where not much is happening, you see. So if I knew how to formalize a business, if I knew what to do in a business, how to grow it, marketing, you see, I think I would have started something long time ago, and I would still be focused on it even now. Mm. Because before I even started the agriculture business, I failed in a lot of things. Mm. Some of them failed before I could even start, you see.
Mm.
Yeah, from the planning, I just realized that this is bad.
Okay. For somebody who's maybe listening right now, who's not sure where to start, what to do, maybe feels like he or she feels like they need funding or anything like that to actually start, what advice would you have for that young person?
First of all, research is very important when you want to start a business.
Mm.
Make sure you do research, watch videos, Google, buy books, and go and meet people who are doing what you want to do. Basically, be in that space, you see, so that you can learn. And then the second thing, you must know how to formalize a business, you know, and you must know, like, you must teach yourself about marketing, because when you start, it's not like you'll be having a marketing department or anything. Mm. You are all in one by yourself, you see. Mm. Yeah, so you need to learn how to formalize a business. You need to learn how to socialize, you know, going around with people who are doing what you're doing.
Mm.
And also, marketing is also very important because you need clients for your business to run. Yeah, that's the main thing. Customer service. Yeah, that's where you learn all those things.
But before we go, can I just throw in just one last one?
Sure.
Yeah. What's the end game for you?
Mm.
What's that one thing that you say you feel that if I have achieved this, or if I have managed to do 1, 2, 3, then I have actually made it. I've done what I needed to have done in this earth. I can go in peace or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. It's not just a business. I've actually noticed a cycle or a pattern in my family whereby we go to school, we learn, and then we go to work. And then, you know, I'm trying to do a generational thing. Yeah, I'm breaking the cycle for myself, you see. So if I build what I can call an empire, then I'll be good, you see. Because, my family has been like my... They've been this negative force against what I've been doing, but at the same time, they've been my biggest motivation for what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So patience is very important when you deal with people who are close to you. To make sure they eventually get to see what you're doing and understand what you're doing. So I've had so many criticism from them, but it actually motivated me to do more, to show that I'm building this for all of us. Mm. It's not just for me. So I would say by the time when everyone is good in the firm, then I would say I'd actually made it. Yeah.
Sure. Such valuable advice. And I actually took about 2 pages of notes as you were talking throughout today's conversation.
Yeah. So, man, this was a super awesome conversation. I learned a lot, Amandla. I don't know.
I learned a lot. And I feel that the people that are going to listen to this conversation will also take a lot from it.
Definitely.
And decide on the way forward. So it's been an honor having you on Boza Moves. And we wish you everything of the best with your business. This. Not even one.
Thank you. I'm only starting. I'm not even halfway.
There we go. Thank you so much.
Yeah. No, thank you, Jeff and Amante.
Thanks, man.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.